Pray with me. Will you just pray with me for a minute? Father, I come to you. I stand before you right now a little bit confused because there's like stuff going on in my head, and I want what I say to be from you. So I'm going to just ask that your Holy Spirit descend upon this room, that you preclude anything, any thought, any word, any deed that would dishonor you now, and that you come upon us in a real way, and that you touch us with the presence of your Holy Spirit. First lesson today has nothing to do with the text. You ready? Some of you are bound up so tight that you cannot even let go and sing praise to God. You're sitting there going, okay, now I've played with this for a while. Okay, and I got to tell you that the Word of God, the book of Psalms, from beginning to end, says sing. It says sing a new song. It says sing to the Lord out of your heart. It tells us that if our singing doesn't please your neighbor, it doesn't matter. What God wants to hear is a sound of praise out of the mouths of his children. Now, you ready? How hard is that? Okay, it's like really easy. And if you will not obey God in the easy thing, you will not be faithful when it gets hard either. And if you won't let go of what's inside of you and praise God when you come into the house of the Lord when he commands you to do it, you're never going to be free. And he wants you to be free, giving you this wonderful tool called music. How many of you have been outside today? Did you notice what was going on out there? All creation was singing to the glory of the Father because he has ordained praise. And you say, he is my Father. And you come into your Father's living room and you go, he's telling you how. But if you want to hang on to it, you just go right ahead. Because you know what? The one who suffers because you won't praise is you. Some of you will believe me. Some of you won't. Some of you decide to let go of it. Others are going to hold on to it. And our Father is going to rejoice with those who do what his word says and grieve over you if you will not. Take it for what it's worth. 40 years since the day of my ordination. I have served in the house of the Lord 40 years ordained, and many more before that ordination. And what I want to tell you is though I have lived in the house of the Lord, you know, I can remember when as a little boy, my grandfather used to come and get me in the morning and take me to church. Now, my grandfather was a German Baptist, and our Baptist church at home did not speak German. And my grandfather was absolutely convinced that the only language God spoke was German, so he didn't bother to go. Okay, nobody there was talking to God because they weren't speaking German. Okay, now, what he would do, however, is he would take me when I was just a little tiny boy to the door of the church. He would open the church, put me inside, and say, go find your grandmother. Okay. And what I knew from that, from a little boy on, you never know what you're saying to your kids by what you do. Be careful what you do. What my grandfather told me over and over again was even though he didn't go in, it was important to him that I went to church. Okay? You can go back to my home church today. It's not bragging, it's just fact, it's funny. You can go back to my home church and you go down into the nursery, which was the nursery when I was nurseried. Okay? You can go down there and they have the cradle roll. Everybody remember the cradle roll? There's these two big things, walls, one boys, one girls, pink ribbons running everywhere, and they got names taped to the pink ribbons of all the babies that ever went through the nursery. You can go there and you'll find my name. I find it fun to go look because it's always there hanging on the wall. Okay, been there for, oh, well, let's forget that. Okay, 65 years almost it's been hanging there. Okay, because my parents were faithful in their own way, and my grandparents especially were faithful, and they taught me the importance of the church. The scripture says that it is the bride of Christ. Now, I'm just going to tell you this. okay? Lois is my bride, okay? You walk up to me and start telling me all you don't like about my bride, our relationship's not going far, okay? This is, we are the bride of Christ. You start running the church into the ground, start talking about what it's not, start telling Jesus how you don't like it, you're talking about his bride. Oh, what do you think might happen to your relationship? You start talking to the bridegroom about how ugly and scarred his bride is. But given that, I got to tell you, after 40 years of ordained life, there are some days when I love the church. Some days when the church just touches my heart and I want to scream. Question for you. How many of you were sorry when worship stopped this morning? Oh, yesterday I was at that men's conference and they got to the end of the first worship set and they quit. After 30 minutes, they quit. And my heart, and I think my voice, said, no, let's... I don't understand why we shut it down. Okay, I think it's because we get frightened. Getting too intense. We got to move on. Okay, don't want the Holy Spirit to go too far. But how many of you would like to do just a nothing but a praise time? Mark it down. Mark it down now. Listen to me. Sunday evening, June 23rd, 6 o'clock, right here in this room. We're going to start praising God and we're going to praise him. Okay? Music only, scripture, no preaching. Okay? June 23rd, Sunday evening, 6 o'clock. Got time to write it down on your calendar so you won't miss it. Okay? Now, when we do that, when the church is being the church and we are together praising our Father for his goodness, I love the church. Okay? There are other moments when I love the church. But I got to tell you, there are some days when I do not like the church at all. Because we don't behave like the children of God. We don't listen to the word of God. We want what we want. We want to stand around and be angry with each other and carry grudges and say, you're not worthy. Well, guess what? I ain't. Okay, it took me 40 years to understand that, but I'm not. And if you think you're so hot, look again. The one who's hot around here is the great and mighty Father we serve. And it's allowing him to come out of us, which makes us holy, not because of who we are. Now, on the day about which Rhonda read to you from the Bible just a few moments ago, Jesus asked, to what shall I compare the kingdom of God? He wanted those to whom he was speaking on that particular occasion, and apparently the Holy Spirit thought we all should know too because he wrote it down in the gospel. He wanted us to know about the kingdom of God. He was searching for an analogy, a likeness, that would make it clear to his hearers and to us what the kingdom of God was all about. The kingdom of God. Now, before I discuss Jesus' analogies, we'll get to them in a minute, let me just give you a little bit about the kingdom of God. Because you need to understand that the kingdom of God at this moment in time comes in two parts. There is the visible kingdom of God, and there is the invisible kingdom of God. This, right here, right now, is the visible kingdom of God. The church is the visible kingdom of God. And it is composed of human beings, people like you and people like me, who confess that we are nothing more than sinners. Every human being I have ever met is flawed. And you know what? After 65 years walking around on the face of the earth, I don't ever expect to meet a perfect human being. Not going to. We are not perfect. But we claim Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. Because the visible kingdom of God, the church, is composed of such as you and me, it is by nature fallible and sometimes extremely disappointing. You want to know what you should expect from the fallible, visible kingdom of God? You should expect it to make mistakes, because it's going to. It's fallible. You should expect it to struggle, because it's caught in a bind between what it wants to be, a sinner, and what God has declared it to be, saved. It's always in struggle, in tension with the word of the Father. It is imperfect, and it struggles. It is disappointing because it is, in fact, made up of people like you and me who are imperfect. If you know that the church is composed of imperfect people, why does it bother you so when you run into its imperfection? Okay, isn't it like running into a wall, one like that one, right there in front of you, been there for all these years? You go smacking into it and say, whoa, that hurt. I mean, if you run into a wall, wouldn't you expect it to hurt? So if you know that the church is in essence composed of fallible human beings like you, why are you surprised when it's not perfect? Just a question. Here's the dilemma. The visible church is the choice of our divine and infallible Father. God picked it. He picked it as the institution he has decided to use to carry the good news of his love to the world. So if you're disappointed with the church today, guess who you have to talk to? Yeah. Take it up with the Father. He decided that this would be what he would use. This is the visible kingdom of God. Admittedly, it is imperfect. But catch this one. It is daily being made perfect by the Holy Spirit of God. That perfection is not realized yet. But by the grace of God, we, every one of us here, as we bring ourselves into obedience and agreement with the Word of God, are being perfected. It's not realized. But whether you see it or not, right now, it's happening. The invisible kingdom of God, the second part of the kingdom of God, is the place where God at this moment in time sits enthroned. Oh. And someday, we who claim Jesus Christ as our Savior will go to that place in the very presence of the Father, and we will discover that it is perfect. Perfect. It will be perfect because God in His glory will have taken from us our tendency to sin. It will be destroyed. And we who go there will be made perfect by our Father. There will no longer be strife among us. There will never again be misunderstanding between us. We will not find ourselves competing or fighting or dealing with power. The very things which are the result of our sinful nature will have been removed from us. And the kingdom of God, will exist in harmony and agreement with the will of the Father. the invisible kingdom of God has at this moment realized perfection. It's the difference between the two great things. The visible kingdom of God, with which we struggle and in which we struggle and live in because it is imperfect. It is not yet perfect. God says it groans with all nature for the moment when it will be set free from its imperfection. But oh, my brothers and sisters, the day is coming. Either because we pass through the door of death or Jesus returns, when the great kingdom of God will come, will become visible in our sight, and it will be perfect. Praise God. Now, Jesus, in the text read to you today, used two illustrations to teach what the kingdom of God is like. Illustration number one, a mustard seed. The seed itself is just a tiny little thing. You could swallow, you probably have swallowed mustard seeds and never had any trouble. But when the seed is planted in good soil, the bush, and it is technically a bush, the bush which sprouts from that little seed grows to be a huge tree-like thing in which the birds of the air can perch and nest. It's not the tininess of the seed which is the issue. It is that from such an inauspicious start, the tiny little seed, such a huge tree grows. You've heard it here. We don't do much with mustard, but it's oaks. Remember? Mighty oaks from little acorns grow. Remember? That's the point he's making. Now think of it. The visible kingdom of God, the church of which we are a part, was started by one man, Jesus Christ, who was crucified by the great power of the day, Rome, as a traitor to Caesar. He was rejected by his own people, Israel, and died the death of a criminal. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and he left nothing of tangible value behind. They even gambled for his garments. The only thing he had that was his in this world. He picked 12 followers, none of whom was well-educated or rich or influential, and one of whom betrayed him. Who, those 12 followers, apart from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, were absolutely nothing. He came in a time when there were no computers, no telephones, no TVs, no system of mass world communication. The truth is that there was nothing auspicious about the beginning of the visible kingdom of God. And yet that today that kingdom has spread to become worldwide. Its influence goes from shore to shore. Its citizens are everywhere, and it has survived 2,000 years, and in none of those years was not some part of the visible kingdom of God persecuted by people who did not believe. Today, its citizens are everywhere. It has survived for 2,000 years. That little seed has grown to become great tree, just as Jesus said it would, just like the mustard plant. Illustration number two, yeast in a lump of dough. Jesus said that the kingdom of God, the visible kingdom of God, is like yeast stirred into a lump of dough. The yeast works its way through the dough until it has permeated every lump, every part of the lump. Every part of the dough is affected by the presence of yeast. And so it is with the visible and the invisible kingdom of God. Quietly, without anyone noticing what was happening, the effect of the kingdom's presence has worked its way through the world until the whole world is affected by it. The kingdom of God is like yeast working its way through the whole lump of dough, just as Jesus declared it to be. Now here's the deal. You ready now? You might not like the church all the time. You might grow disappointed with the visible manifestation of the kingdom of God because it is made up of sinners just like you. You may think that there must have been a better way to spread the good news than the church. But you ready now? Listen to me. Listen to me. God picked it. Visible and invisible, God decided that of all the options before him, the church was the best choice. There are days when I want to say to him, are you serious? This is the best. But folks, like it or not, here it is. Imperfect, becoming perfect by the will and the timing of God. And according to our infallible Father, it is the best way. Oh, will you stop struggling? Give it up. Let it go. Accept it for what it is. The choice of God. And Jesus' analogies work. 2,000 years ago, before much was going on, the seed barely planted in the soil, Jesus said, the church is like a mustard seed. Jesus said, the church is like yeast. Its size grows and its influence expands. And said Jesus Christ, our precious Lord himself, the gates of hell will not stand against it. For it is the kingdom of God, and by his grace alone it shall prevail. And we who are part of God's kingdom, visible and invisible, declare with the great Apostle Peter today, we are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are God's own people. We declare that we will go to all the world and tell the excellence of him who called us out of darkness and into the light of his kingdom. The kingdom of love and light. We declare today that we will lay aside every sin that clings so tightly. And we will run this race to the glory of God our Father. For the church is the kingdom of God. And by God's grace alone, we shall prevail.